Hi, my name is Nate, and I am a financial planner, and I'm so excited to have conversations with Pearl today.
Hey everybody, it is Pearl again with Women Successful Living, and you are on for another conversation with Pearl. And we're a little out of the norm this month because we have another gentleman joining us. So it's been really cool to have some really insightful men come on and share what they do, how they impact their clients, and also share a little bit about their view about self-care. And today is no different, but a little different, because this is actually a good friend of mine here in Tampa that I've gotten to know. And his name is Nate Goldenberg, and he has been in the financial industry for over 18 years. He is the founder and CEO of Next Wave Advisor, a financial planning and investment advisory firm. And he is dedicated to helping people get the most out of the money they earn. And who doesn't want to keep doing that? And so since entering the financial services industry, Nate has attained both the Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analysis Destinations. He has served as a board member of the Valrico Fishhawk Chamber of Commerce, which is a local chamber here where we live, a member of the Financial Advisory Board to our Hillsborough County School Board. He is also currently serving as the president of the Kiwanis Club of Greater Brandon, and recently won, get this, the 2023 Best in Florida Award in the financial advisory category by Guide to Florida Magazine. Way to go, Nate. On a personal side of things, Nate enjoys spending time with his wife, Maggie, their two amazing children, Zachary and Ariana, their dog, Archie. And when they aren't at home, you can usually find the Goldenbergs, not Goldbergs, the Goldenbergs at Indian Rocks Beach, Disney, and hopefully cruising, which I just went on a cruise, Nate, in November for Thanksgiving week. And that's, I love cruising. That's my favorite vacation in the world to do.
Yeah, I'm hooked on it now. We actually went over Thanksgiving week as well. And I like it. It's sort of an all-in-one package.
Yeah.
And it keeps everybody tight knit. You know, you turn off the electronics for the week and you get everybody to yourself. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I'm so excited to have you here today. And so, yes, as I share with everybody, we know each other here locally too, but I wanted to have you on because of the fact that your experience and what you bring to the clients that I know I've referred to you and just knowing you in general. But first of all, let's go back to what brought you to where you are today and why you chose to do what you do. So what, tell us your journey.
Yep. So, okay. Let's go. I guess we can go all the way back. So I went to University of South Florida, here in Tampa. I was from the Northeast most of my life and, got tired of the cold weather. Some family friends told us to come visit the school. I came down, during winter break, my junior year in high school. And keep in mind, I was living in Southern Pennsylvania at the time. So our friend's son, who was going to school at the time at USF, was taking me around and showing me the campus. And no matter what he was showing me, no matter what he was telling me, the only thing I could focus on was the fact that I was in shorts and a t-shirt in December. And I was like, why am I doing this up in Pennsylvania and upstate New York while I'm tired of snow, tired of weather? So I came down to USF love Tampa, love Tampa area. So I've been here ever since. After USF, I was actually, interesting enough, I was interested in getting into the legal field and was looking to get some sort of like a paralegal type job after graduating. I graduated with a poli-sci degree, very financial related, right? I graduated with a poli-sci degree and couldn't really find any work at the time because I didn't have any experience. I was kind of caught in a catch-22 at that time. Found some paralegal courses that I was taking at HCC. But was looking for a job related something to do with business. And the only job I could find was a stockbroker job at a local regional firm on Waters Avenue at the time. So that was how I got into the industry. But it was a very, you know, a lot of the people who worked there were, they built their businesses in the 80s and 90s where there was a lot of cold calling. Like things had changed since then, thanks to internet and, you didn't need to call your broker anymore to do business. You know, the industry itself had taken sort of a shift into more of a consultative approach versus like a brokered transaction approach. And I was noticing that. And it was definitely an experience that I'm glad that I had. So it let me kind of get a feel for what it was like to be at the bottom of the industry because I was literally cold calling off of lead cards, you know, people I'd never met before. And it was a good experience. But I learned pretty quickly that that wasn't what I wanted to do. A friend of mine got a job at Chase as a financial advisor. And he says, they got a great program here, great training. You should come apply. They were hiring a bunch in the Tampa area. I said, okay. So I went there and I ended up getting the job. And that was where I spent most of my initial part of my career, where I learned more about investing. Because investing has always been something that was interesting to me. I had always wanted, it was always something that I had taken a kind eye to. But that was where I sort of learned more about dealing with clients, proper money management, financial planning. That was when I got the CFP, was when I was there, the Certified Financial Planner designation. So that was where I got a lot of my, foundation of my work. But then after a while, there were certain clients that would come into the branches that were making money, but they were at a point in their lives where they didn't have a whole lot of assets yet, but they were at a point in their life where they're making money and they wanted guidance. They wanted financial advice. They wanted financial guidance. But at the time, there wasn't really a program at the bank that catered to them. It was, for the defense of the bank that I was working at, it was huge, and it was one of the best banks in the world. But this was a smaller demographic that if you really didn't have assets or didn't have lending needs, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff that I could do for them. But I was noticing that there's this whole market out there of people like that they were just a little bit earlier in their career, and they were making money and they wanted the guidance. So I kind of got an idea. So I was like, oh, why don't I take a look on the independent side of the industry? And, then I can start catering more to them. I can, sort of test this market out. So I found an independent firm in Orlando. This was 2013, end of 2013, beginning of 2014. And that was just 10 years ago. And went with them and went independent, sort of jumped ship, and which is very, very nerve-wracking. And we talk about self-care. That was I was very fortunate that I was kind of ignorant of the big decision that I had made at the time, because I'd worked with these clients for years, some, 7-8 years at the time. And I didn't know anything else. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go here. They'll just, follow me naturally. And it didn't necessarily happen like that. But fortunately, I'd already left, joined, and enough clients came with me to where I could still, pay the bills and still, do that as I was starting to build this new practice that I've built. But that was a very nerve-wracking, experience as well, changing. So I went there and which was great. I started doing that. And then after about 6 years with them, I realized that I could actually start my own firm from scratch. And that's what Next Wave Advisors is. During 2019 and 2020, that's what I was doing, was creating my own firm. So a big difference between my firm versus others is I am judge, jury, and executioner of the firm, of the decisions that are made for my clients, which I like. I think with advisors out there, if you have a good advisor, that's great. Like, that's what you want. My sort of take was on the firm model. I like the idea that there weren't people in the decision-making process for my clients that didn't know my clients. Like, I know my clients. I know that decisions that they need made for them or need help making, that I'm directly involved. But there's nobody outside of me that doesn't know them that is having a say in what these decisions are for them. So I like that, the autonomy that came with that and starting my own firm. So that's where I am today. That's what I've been doing for now 3 years the Next Wave Advisor.
Yeah, I love that. And so those that are listening, what I love that you shared too is like that journey of, because we do, we start, we think we want to go one way in our career, or we go to school and with this, and then when it doesn't happen, sometimes we just get stuck thinking, I've seen it like with friends where they get stuck going, I have this degree, I got to find it for this degree. And you opened your horizons to say, okay, what else can I, do if this isn't working for me? Right. And I think that's important to know too. And then as you did that, like you were talking about, you were working with Chase and you saw a need, right? Because I think for a lot of us, we start our businesses because there is a need that there's that void that we know we can help fill. And so you saw that need and, you went out there and you started your journey. What I love too is that you share that you want to be involved. You want to get to know your clients, and I think, and that you know them personally. And for me, that reminded me of like how I originally started my business. I was doing health coaching, and I was learning from somebody here where I was working at their clinic, and I kept hearing like if somebody went in, and so it was a weight loss program. If somebody went in and was sitting with this coach that I learned under, and they had, you know, had a deviation, maybe they had a cupcake or they did something they shouldn't have done on the program, I would hear her. I felt like they were in my mom and dad's room and we got caught for not doing good grades at school and we're getting punished, right? And I didn't like that. And so I was like, that's not how I want to coach. So what would happen is her clients, so if she couldn't come in, her clients would come on my schedule and they would end up wanting to stay on my schedule because I would be like, hey, tell me what was the emotion behind that? Like, why did you choose the cupcake or why did you choose to have that thing that you did that, you know, really isn't on program? It could set you back a couple of days, but we can gain back the days, right? And they're like going, you're not going to yell at me, so I shouldn't have had that. I'm like, well, why? That's not, life's not a remote. We can't rewind it and go, let me go back. If we could, my gosh, life would be so amazing, right? So I love that you looked at that void and said, I want to get to know my clients, and that you saw how you would want to be treated as a client, and you created your business Next Wave Advisors because that was a need and a void that you saw. How can I fill the void, but also offer that personal service? And that's one of the, that's what I love. I mean, I know I've known you over the few years and we do things in networking together. And that's what I love about you is that you do that. You sit down, you listen and help that client get from point A to point B and help them create that financial journey along the way. So you added, was it recently that you added the divorce mechanism to your practice too?
I got the designation in 2017, but it came from, I was sharing an office with another advisor next door was a woman who did family planning, family mediation. And she had mentioned to me about this networking group at the time called Next Gen Divorce. And I went out, visited them, and I thought it was a great group. I still, every once in a while, consider, you know, if I had more time going back to them, but it was a focus on collaborative law, collaborative divorce, where you have, you know, if there's a divorce, you have, you know, the attorneys for both sides, but then you have sort of a mediator and then a financial intermediary in the middle that help sort of organize everything and get everything together in a nice, you know, in a less aggravating way, I guess, in a more, you know, calm manner for them. So I saw when I worked at Chase, there were some referrals that I received from a 401k department because of the divorce, because the assets had to be split. And lots of times one of the spouses is usually the one who handled everything. So usually one of the spouses is all of a sudden left with no knowledge whatsoever. So I saw that as a potential niche. Because, you know, there's a definite need right there for someone to be able to help with that. And it's a specific event that creates that situation to where I was like, all right, well, if I get a little bit more niche level understanding, it can sort of put me, you know, over my competition. And also at the same time, it can help me better help these people that need help. So that was what led me into that. That is, I'll admit, I don't pursue it probably as much as I should. Like, I still talk to a decent amount of family attorneys about, you know, I can help you with this in a situation, but I haven't been as active as I have been with other networking, which might be a potential 2024 goal now that we're talking about it. So,
well, look at that. I'm helping you create a vision, but
brainstorming as we talk.
Yeah, let's brainstorm together. Well, what I like too about that is that the collaboration part, like collaborating with other people that can impact others' lives. And you're right, because I say to my husband all the time, I'm one of those women that he does everything because it's just like, I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. I mean, I know, but I can access everything. It's not one of those situations, but it's like, okay, if I had to figure all that out on my own, I'm like, you know, even like the planning, like, I mean, as you know, and my listeners know, when we lost Matthew last year, the first thing I said was, Nate needs to come into this house. Nate, our son, Nate, needs to come in this house. He needs to know where everything's at. He needs to know where all the passwords are at. He needs, you know, he needs access to that because we never share that with the boys. And now it's like, oh, if we both are on a cruise or a plane ride together and we go down, you know, yeah, he knows it's in dad's office somewhere, but he has no clue. Yeah. Right. So the planning part, I think, is so powerful. And that's what you offer too. So let's talk about that. So let's get into some of the fun. It's funny, for those who are listening, we're actually recording this around the Christmas holidays. So it's interesting. Right. You're going to hear us probably talk about the first of the year and planning, but it's never too late to start planning. I'm sure Nate would agree as well. So let's kind of talk about the basics. So when somebody comes in that maybe has never, ever invested before, right? But now they want to start investing and maybe they don't have a big nest egg. They got something simple. I haven't been to network meeting lately. I was going to ask you, I have it, Nate. I have it right here. I haven't seen this book. It's called 100 Envelope Savings Challenge. Have you heard about seen this on TikTok?
No, I haven't seen that one.
So the goal is I got to put it together. Somebody gave it to me. But the goal is you put this book together and every day it's got $1, $2, $3. Like every day you put these dollars in and supposedly after, I don't know how many weeks or whatever, I think it says you'll get, it's a 100 envelope savings challenge. At the end, you'll get $5,050 in this book, right? I'm like, I'm going to try this challenge out. Let's test it out. So I said, I'm going to start January 1st, just because it's the first of the year. But let's just talk about maybe somebody has a couple thousand dollars, right? What's that customer journey like when they come in to sit down with you? What are some of the things they can expect of working with you?
Well, first, we'll talk about if there's something specific that got them interested in speaking. Maybe something happened or they've noticed something. Because lots of times for me, it's important for me to understand their motivations because that'll help in better sort of, again, coaching. There's a lot of coaching involved in my work too. It helps me better coach them on their decision-making if I understand what their motivating factors are and start from there and sort of get an idea of any kind of experience that they have with it. Sometimes they have stories about family. Some people, have a lot of preconceived biases on certain things or they watch a lot of the news or they watch a lot of TikTok. I get a lot of conversation of us on TikTok, us on Instagram. This guy who talked about this, this one who talked about this. What do you think? Lots of times that's the start of the conversation, which is great because it shows that they're interested, which is the most important thing. But usually what I'll do is we start talking about what it is they want the money to do for them eventually. Like, what does money mean to you? Like, does it mean one day not having to work anymore? Or do you actually like work? And money's more about, okay, I want to make sure that family's taken care of if something, happens to me. Or I want, I like my job. I like this. I like that. But I want to live at a higher means than where I'm at right now. What can I do? So we go over different goals. And lots of times it usually ends up more about cash flow planning, where we talk about, okay, this is what you have coming in. This is where it's going right now. And the places that you're sending it, are they in line with the goals that we talked about? If not, we need to redirect that cash. I was actually talking with someone just yesterday, the daughter of a client of mine, and she, at first I thought that she was calling, that she had already asked, her mom, the question, so she knew the right answers to give me, but she just had a good head on her shoulders from the beginning. She was going over like, I'm starting my first, job. She's getting a job as a government employee. With the NSA, which was really cool to hear. But she's also getting a payout from something. She didn't really go into details from something in the past. And she wasn't sure what to do with the money. And that's what we were talking about. And she was like, I was thinking about doing this, 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 and this. And I was like, that's probably not too far from what I would have told you. I think that's great. But usually that's what we'll start doing is talk about where does the money need to go and where is it going right now and what we should change it to. And then who else is involved in this and do we need to get them directly involved or is this more we need to make sure that we have the certain things in place to protect them if something does happen to you? So a lot of it goes back to motivations and goals and what they're actually doing right now, the habits that they have. Do we need to change them or are they the right ones?
And you're right. That is a lot of coaching. That's the same thing with like coaching that I do with life coaching and mental fitness coaching. It's like, where are you at? Where do you want to go? What's the mindset that's holding you back? how do we change the mindset to realizing that, you know, you have these goals. So this is where we need to start plugging your money in and around, you know, removing subscriptions and, you know, looking at, see, where's your money going and where do we need to shift that? I love that you're looking at that. And I think it's so cool that, you know, that somebody young is doing that, because I feel like even like in my world right now, there's so much, I think since COVID, especially so much of our young are, you know, they've got so much on their shoulders and, you know, with everything that's going on and the things they hear in the news and everything, but to know that they're out there looking for people like you to empower them, be like, I've got this job, I want to start off right. You know, that's one of the things I love about our son, Nate. He's same thing. Like we can still see his checking account. I'm sure he's listening to me. And so I'm like, every time I look, I'm like, I'm so proud that, you know, what he's doing. They've got these big goals and, you know, they're getting mad. They got engaged on Thanksgiving week while we were on our cruise. They got engaged. Yeah. So it was so awesome. We're so excited. And so they bought a house in May of this year, which, you know, Rebecca helped them buy a house. And one of the things that they want to do is they want to build a, do an addition for a bathroom. They only have one bathroom. And it's so funny. My son hated baths when he was a kid, but now he loves baths. So he was like going, I want to build this addition on and put this addition onto the bath thing. He goes, but we really want to get married in 24. So they're trying to look at the budget. I'm like, well, because I don't know what, you know, budget her family has. We've kind of told him what we can do with the wedding plans. So I think he's trying to look at both of those and judging, okay, maybe wedding first, addition after, you know, he's trying to like balance all of that, but they're doing the right things. Like they're looking at everything. They're looking at their finances. They're looking at what they each contribute. They both have really good jobs as well. So it's great to see that happening in our young now and to be empowered to do that, which I want to go back talking about our young adults is you did some stuff with the school district. So I would love to know a little bit about that and how that came about, because I think that's the kind of things that we need to be teaching in our schools. I feel like we've gotten away from some of that. So will you share what you did with the school district?
Yeah. You mean with the financial advisory committee or with like the Great American Teaching and stuff like that?
With the financial advisory committee. Well, a little bit of both. Yeah. So talk with us about those.
So the financial advisory committee it was more helping them with the budget, like the school board had came to a decision that they needed to adjust some things in the budget, and they wanted to get some professional outside, you know, points of view on different ideas. So that was more of a trying to help the adults thing, which was a great experience. Just I'd never done anything in the public sector before, so that was a great experience, and I appreciate it. Melissa Steinberg was the one who reached out to me to do that, so I'm very grateful to her for giving me that opportunity. On the other end, actually, the direct work with the students. So 2 years ago, I started a lot of the kids now they're very familiar with how like fantasy football works and fantasy leagues and things like that. So to get them interested, I visited my son's class and had them put together fantasy stock teams, fantasy investing teams for a semester where they put together, you know, we did like a draft. I came in with like 20 something stocks I knew that they would be familiar with. They went in the teams, they got to name their teams, and they went through and just like a draft, just like a football draft, each team got to pick one, and then we went around again, and we would follow it to see the progress, and then I would talk with them about why things happened a certain way, like why did this go up, you know, why was it, it was interesting because during that window of time frame, Facebook had done a big turnaround in their business, so the stock had gone down a lot going into it, but since they fixed a lot of stuff they needed to do in regards to how they were managing their company. The stock went, it ended up being the thing that won for the team because the stock itself did so much better than any others during that time window. And I had to explain that to the kids because they were like, and the funny thing is the team that picked it, when I was going through and I was asking them why they were picking them, when we got to Facebook, I was like, you know, why did you pick Facebook? And all of them were like, our moms are on Facebook all the time. They have to be making money. That was literally their answer word for word. And I was like, well, it's like, it worked. You know, that was a good, answer or a good methodology. But that was a great thing in sort of teaching them about, the basics of investing, like how stocks are, you know, how, you know, understanding risk risk and reward. That was a big thing that we talked about was, you know, there, that's really the trade-off when it comes to investing is you have to understand the risk that you are taking for the reward that you want and find making sure you're finding that balance between the two. And that's the a lot of the conversations that I have with clients when we're first talking. When we talk about the certain money that they want to invest, we need to say, all right, well, first, you got to make sure that you have your emergency funds in case something happens. Like that's a very low reward, low reward, low risk, you know, type of, you know, like a money market account. You want that money available. You don't want anything to happen to it in case you need it. But then as you start to, as that's taken care of, you can move on to more things like a Roth IRA or an investing account where you can take a little bit more risk with the idea of getting more reward for it and sort of understanding the balance. And a lot of those conversations have to do with helping them understand what they call behavioral finance, where understanding how our emotions dictate our decisions with money. And that's a huge part of the conversation on investing and also just budgeting in general. I find that a lot of times working with people and when talking with students in the school, you know, a year beforehand, we had done a game on budgeting and I'd put little categories together like home, food, and each one of them, like the home was, do you want like a nice home? Do you want, you know, an apartment? Do you want to stay home with your parents? Another one was like, do you like to eat out every night? Do you like to, you know, do you make your own food? You know, things like that. And there were different categories that were assigned different points and they were giving a certain amount of tokens and they had to like, it was three tokens if they wanted their own home, but one token if they were going to live at home with their parents. So they would find themselves spending and all of a sudden they found themselves mixing stuff around. So they go, well, I guess I really don't care about, you know, have my own home. I'll live with my parents if it means that I can, you know, have more video games. And it was, they were starting to get the idea of what it was like to actually juggle money around and budget it. So that was pretty interesting to see what their motivations were. And it's the same thing with adults. You know, there's just a different way of doing it. I'll do that with clients where we'll go through the budget and we'll break down all of their expenses and I'll use certain software that we can break it up into categorizing each of the expenses and say, well, this is where a good amount of money. Lots of times it's eye-opening, but it's not a lot because at the same time, in the back of their mind, they kind of have an idea of where it's going and where their money is going. But then when they see it in front of them in actual, you know, facts like, okay, this is, you spent, you know, 20% of your income on Amazon and Target. Like that's, we need to take a look and see what it is you're actually spending. Are these business expenses, but we just can't see it because it's coming from Amazon? Or is this just stuff that you're, you know, buying and these restaurants and stuff like that? And just starting to get an idea of where the money's going and what having a different conversation of let's talk more about what the actual priorities are here, because you have enough money to do what it is that you want to do. But, you know, there's something you're going to have to, you know, switch out or sacrifice for it.
I love that you did that with the kids. I mean, I feel like that we need more of that in the schools because I think I remember there was a class like, so I'm dating myself. I graduated high school way long a time ago, but we had like home ec. We had stuff in there around some finance stuff too as well. And I was like, we don't have that anymore in the schools, you know? And so we need that because also I remember, I can't think of her name. She taught at Newsom. Because I remember going, they're doing that. I'm sure they don't have any more. They were doing how to balance their checking account. I was like, still do that? She goes, yeah, we teach it, but I don't even think they teach that anymore in school because they, you know, everything's so automatic and cash up here and all that stuff, right? But I think the way you did it too for those kids is to break it down and help them simplify in their language, you know. And I love the part about Facebook. Yeah, my kid would probably say would have said that, you know, about me too. I'm like, but it's funny now. I'm trying to get away from that so much. I use it for my business and some personal stuff, but I've actually moved all of my people. There's a platform where you can have all your like you have Facebook groups kind of thing. So I use a platform called Circle. So I bring all my people in there. So it's like a membership thing. So you can be in there for free. But if you're in one of my coaching programs and you're not a paying client in that coaching program, you can't get in there. You're locked out. So then I can drive everybody over to there and I don't have to have, I have rules and restrictions that I make everybody follow by, but I don't have to worry about all this Facebook rules and craziness, right? But but my kid probably would have said I was a Amazon and I was a Facebook person for sure. I love that. I remember when I did, I love the Great American Teachers. And if you guys are listening and you have that in your neighborhoods, which I think it's a national program, you really should go do that because it's so eye-opening. I remember I taught one year in a middle school class, I think it was a cooking class of some sort. And she wanted me to come in and I did the whole day. And at the end of the day, I looked at her and said, I'm so glad you do what you do. I could not, this job is exhausting, right? So I remember doing a thing with, it was when I was still doing the weight loss piece, but I was doing sugar. And I remember, you know, kids eat Pop-Tarts, right? And I was like, tell me how much sugar to put in this bowl for the Pop-Tart. And they would tell me, I'm like, nope, not enough, not enough. And then I'd go, oh, wait, are you having the chocolate chip Pop-Tart over there? Let me add some more sugar. Kind of like you did. Some had chocolate chips, some had this, you know. Yeah. And then I gave some healthy stuff. And they were like going, wow. And I always tell them the story about my son when I went on my journey and I realized how much freaking sugar is in a chocolate chip Pop-Tart. I literally sat him down and I said, listen, I'm not buying these Pop-Tarts anymore. So you can either have the Pop-Tart or I'll just give you the sugar because it's less expensive for me to buy the sugar. And I literally put the sugar in a bowl for him. And he's like, I don't want that. I'm like, and that's when Pop-Tarts went away. Now, as an adult, I've gone to his house. He has some Pop-Tarts again in his world. But I took that and pop away or soda, some people call it. But I took both of those out of the household because it's like, you know, so much sugar. But I love how you explain that down. And even like for us adults, sometimes like you explain it for the adults in the way a kid would want to hear it, because sometimes we have to hear it that way and we have to see it that way. And I'm the joke of the house when it comes to Amazon. They're like, you've got another box, mom. So one of my goals for 24 is to turn off Amazon and to turn off Temu. So if you guys are both listening to me, unless you want to pay me to buy from you, I'm turning you off right now.
Right.
So, cause I look at those things. And the other thing too is like subscriptions, like looking at what your subscriptions are, you're paying. And so trying to get all those little expenses and, you know, cut those down as well, because, you know, we, like you said, we have goals. I love to talk about like where the journey is of your customer is for what their goals are. Cause a younger person is going to have a different goal than somebody like me who is preparing for what I call my second act of life. So for retirement and those kind of things. And so I love that you kind of help walk through the journey and guide them. My question is, and so when somebody invests, like they come to you and you're helping them invest, oftentimes people have, I've talked with other people that in the investment world, and I've heard people, friends of mine also have said that, you know, well, my advisor told me to invest in this and it was terrible. And I found out later they didn't even invest in it. Right. So when you look at helping somebody invest in what they're doing with you, what are some of the things you look at personally for yourself that maybe you share with your clients as well?
Well, the majority, something I do talk to clients about, the majority of stuff that I recommend to my clients is stuff that I own as well. There are going to be certain situations based on the person, based on their own situation or a difference in age or a difference in, you know, what they have going on where something's going to make more sense than the other. But the majority of investments that I recommend to clients, I own myself. So I was told that by an advisor that I've known forever. He lives in Sarasota, and one of the things that he had told me when the very first time that he was kind of giving me kind of some mentorship advice on investing and on dealing with clients, he goes, I never put anybody in something that I won't put my own money in. And I was like, oh, he goes, if anything, because I'll put a little bit of my own money into it first, then I can actually see what it does. He goes, you pay a lot more attention to stuff that your own money's into versus, you know, putting into something that, you know, you read a report on that said it was good. So, and also at the same time, I'm an investor just like they are. So if I'm recommending something to a client, it's usually because I found it and I was like, this would be a great thing to put some money into. I was like, all right, I'm going to invest some of my money into it. I'm going to go tell my clients about it as well. I'm just not just as much a planner, but, you know, I'm an investor as well. And that's one of the things I love about my job is that I get to help other people do what I already enjoy doing for myself. And that's, you know, when you talk about self-care and stuff like that, that's one of the best things about my job. There's sometimes when I feel guilty sometimes where I'll be working, but I don't consider working. Like I'll be doing, you know, my research on things for clients for investments, or I'll be, you know, just listening to the news, reading up, trying to sort of get an idea of what's going on in the world. And this is something I do anyways. And I got to stop myself sometimes. Then I'm like, I got to get to work. And I'm like, I am kind of working. This is part of what I do. I've already done, you know, A, B, and C for the day. I was like, this is my work. So it's finding something that you're already interested in to be able to help other people with. Like that's one of the greatest things you can do for self-care as well, is to do something that you already love to do for yourself.
I love that. That's so true. I actually wrote that down. Help others do what I enjoy doing myself. That's a great statement. Like, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go if I don't, like, I just did a post today on Facebook. I think it's something along the line, you're going to the white elephant party and all you can bring is the last thing you did for self-care, and then put down below what you're doing. And the comments that are in there are so much fun. I'm like, oh my God, this is so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I would go do that. No, I wouldn't do that. Like, to look at the things I enjoy doing, you know, kind of ties into what you're saying. And to know that, so for those that are listening, to know that you have an advisor that says, you know, I, along the same lines, look at the same things, but sometimes it can be different based on your needs versus what your investor, your advisor's needs are as well. So thank you for like clarifying that with us. So I'm going to ask you a question. So you've been married how long?
I've been married 13 years.
Okay. So when you guys got married, we were talking earlier about income and the spouse knows this and those kind of things. So who handles the money in your household?
I handle the money. Here's the funny thing. When we first started dating, Maggie, so she, for the first few years, like, she was the breadwinner when we, because I had just started. So a lot of stuff that I don't think I've ever had a salary, since getting into this industry, which is, if you had asked my younger self, that would have been insane to think of, because I was always the kind of person that was a little more conservative in that I want, you know, nice salary so I don't have to worry about where I get my money from. And it's just been the complete opposite. I handle money. And going back to that budgeting that I said before, where I talk about something that gets, that Maggie is, definitely, encouraging, but at the same time, I drive her a little crazy sometimes, is when I talk about doing stuff that I already do for myself. I go back through my budget at least 3-4 times a year and look for ways that I can just like trim it down, just for the sake of trimming it down. Like, you're surprised, you'd be surprised what you can find. Like, even no matter how much money or how well I do, I'm always still going to be that person that goes through my budget and says, all right, do I really need this? Every year we've had annual passes to Disney for a while, and those have been getting a little bit more expensive. It's almost like, for a family, to be honest with you, it's almost like a car payment. But on the priority list, like, Maggie and the kids love this, and it's like, it's well worth the money for us. But every year, at least once, I'll go back. I'll be like, do we? And she's like, no. She's like, don't even bring that to the conversation. I'm like, all right. I was like, that takes higher priority than certain others. So everybody's got their certain things, and everybody deserves that, you know, to treat themselves, you know, for something like that. Like, you shouldn't, there's certain rules of thumb that you want to sort of tend to, but, you know, I know I got this on my shirt, but if that's your one vice, you know, your Starbucks coffee every morning, and you do everything else the way it's supposed to happen, that's, you know, that's perfectly fine. You know, you deserve it. So
I love that. I recently got, the past week, a friend of mine has gifted me, and I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to jinx it, but gifted me the opportunity to go something that's been on my bucket list. I'm a huge Buffalo Bills fan, but I'm a huge football fan. And if you had met me when I met my husband almost 40 years ago, I would have never said that, but I've become a big football fan. And so I have an opportunity to go be at an amazing party that is tied around the Super Bowl. And so So I'm just waiting for the confirmation to come. And I'm like, I'm going. I budgeted it. I'm going. I've got free airline points. I'm going to use it to go and do this once in a lifetime thing. Right. So, but like you said, you look at things like, I remember when we had our Disney stuff, when we first moved here from Virginia to Florida, that was something like, we could go do this. You know, the kids really weren't into the beach as much. We're like, they like Disney. So we did Disney, and then we flipped from Disney to Universal for a little while too, because as they were getting older, their excitement of the park changed. So I love that you look at that as a family and say, well, what's the, you know, what is it important to us? And even though, like you said, it's like a car payment, it's, you know, it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, something that's important to the family. So I love that. And I love to hear that, you know, and I was just teasing, like, I wanted to kind of know like how much Maggie gets involved and everything. So how old are your kids again?
11 and 9.
So are they starting, are you starting to like teach them a little bit of this stuff? Like, are they doing allowance yet or?
Yeah, we just, so what we'll do is for report cards, we give them a little bit of money for each A and each B. And we've set up through Chase. Chase actually does a great program of kid debit accounts, like custodial debit accounts, where Maggie has, it's like a parent account that has direct access to the kids' accounts, and she can put money into it or pull money out as she wants to. And the kids get a little debit card, which they like. So what we'll do is it deposits into that account. And actually, Zachary had just spoke to Maggie yesterday saying, I could have some money in there for my last report card. I want to go out and go shopping for gifts for family. And we're like, oh, okay, that's great. It's like, yeah, that's what it's there for. But yeah, we from the beginning, we talk about exactly. He likes to play Fortnite on the video game, and they have the currency on that game is called V-Bucks, where you know you can buy characters. They call them skins, like outfits and stuff like that of different character movie stars, stuff like that. And he'll get a card, and that's kind of the way that I taught him. You got to find out what their currency. That's what you got to do. That's what I tell people. You got to find out what a person's currency is. And for him, it was the V-Bucks, where I could explain to him, listen, you know, you have, you know, 3,000 V-Bucks. It's going to cost you 1,500 to get, you know, the Ninja Turtle skin that you want to get. Do you, you know, if you want that, that's great. But, you know, don't get it. And all of a sudden, immediately, go get something else because you're going to be anxious. That was sort of a teaching thing for him, because he came back to me like a day later, this is a little while back. And he was like, spent the whole thing. He goes, the next day, he's like, I regret doing that. And I was like, okay. I was like, that's fine. I was like, that happens. And now you kind of understand what happens when you buy something that you really don't want just because you have the money. And that was a good experience for him. And now he's definitely gotten better over time, where he's, you know, he'll find something that he wants, but he won't just go, you know, berserk, you know, with stuff. So Ari, I think the younger one, especially the younger daughter, usually seems to catch on to that stuff quicker, I want to say. So she's been pretty good with that from the beginning. But if anything, at one point I had to like encourage her to spend some of the money, because he's like, I want to save up for something. I want to save up for like Taylor Swift tickets. And I was like, that's something you're probably going to want mommy and daddy to help you out with. You don't want spending
money. God bless her. Save up for Taylor Swift tickets. That's going to be a big savings account.
Yeah, exactly. I told her, I was like, I don't think they're the price that you think they are. I was like, I appreciate that you want to save money up for it. But that's something that you asked maybe for a present for mom and dad. You know,
yeah.
It's different for each kid. But again, going back to, and so I actually got this from somebody else when I was in leadership Brandon back in 2019. I'm drawing a blank right now with the Livingstone Academy, not the owners, but
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name. I know who you're talking about.
She's gonna kill me though. I'm drawing a blank right now. But both of them, her and Scott, they would say that all the time. They'd be like, you got to find out what your kid's currency is. And sometimes it's candy, sometimes it's actual money, sometimes it's like V-Bucks with my son. And that was, you know, I'd never really heard the term used like that. And this is, I've been in the industry, I've been doing this for years. So it just goes to show that you can find, no matter how much of an expert you are in a topic, you can find new stuff from anybody. Better ways to explain stuff.
And that's so true.
Kristen Lizzie. Kristen Lizzie. I'm sorry.
Yes. That's so true that she asked you that question and to find that, because I also, when I work with my clients, one of the things I talk about when we're coaching is, you know, we talk about love language, right? So my love language is gifts. I love to give gifts. I probably give gifts. I love to give and I love to receive. That's my love language. My husband, him giving gifts, that's like not on his agenda. Like, he is a CPA and accountant. He looks at like the cost behind the gifts. So it's not that he doesn't give gifts, you know, and nice gifts, don't get me wrong, but he looks at like, where can I better spend my money, you know, spending time with you, things like that. And so like, I remember when I first met him, he showed up late for our date. And I'm like, seriously, dude, you know, my roommate and his roommate were dating, and we were just starting to date, and he showed up with yellow flowers. Right. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. But the meaning behind the yellow flowers, because he was like, I didn't want to give you red, because we all means like red means I love you. And I'm just starting to date you, so I don't know if I love you. Right. So I'm going to give you yellow. And I'm like, that was like, so he puts a lot more thought behind the gift. And for him, getting gifts is not his love language. Like, spending time with him, the quality time, that's a love language. So for me to expect him to give gifts when it's not his currency is like what you said, it's unreasonable to expect that. Right. So I have to understand that his currency to me, it's not going to always be about giving me a gift. It's going to be the quality time he can spend with me, you know? And so, and for me, he understands that sometimes I want to give him gifts, but at the same time, it's the gift of time versus a physical thing. Right. So I love that you talked about that, because I think it's really important to know what that currency is. It's like even with your kids, like identifying what our kids, like my older one, Matthew, his was honesty. Just tell me the truth, be honest with me. Don't sugarcoat it. whatever it is, yeah. It is, right? Don't try to protect me or anything. Where Nate's very introvert. So he's more about having meaningful conversations. Like I swear he was born back when history started, because that kid can spew off history to you at no problem, right? So his is like knowledge and having good conversations with you around the knowledge. So I love that somebody pointed that out and then we're talking about that. So for those that are listening, it is important to understand what motivates your kids, what your kid currency is, and even like what is yours, you know, and having those conversations within a family is so, so important. I'm looking at the time. It's like, oh, we're almost out of time here, but I want to ask you. So normally we have like, it's very few times that we have amazing gentlemen like yourself on the show with us. So normally we ask this question, and for women, it comes off very easy. And I think I've done this training or presentation in our network group, but I'm going to ask you to play a little game with me, if you will. Okay. So, all right. So we're going to shift a little bit to self-care. So what are your top three things that bring you joy that are tied to self-care, Nate?
Well, I am an introvert by nature as well. So getting some solitude is huge in recharging. Sometimes Maggie and the kids, we like to go to Indian Rocks a lot. So, but there'll be times when she wants to take the kids to the beach and I'll stay home, you know, for the night, and either I'll go out the next day, or if they're just going for the night, they'll come back the next day. And it really does a lot for me, you know, to do that. 'Cause I'm a very kind of cerebral person to where I will, you know, sit and just kind of reflect on stuff, and not in a bad way, but more just kind of, that helps me sort of get caught back up sometimes, because I get in case I ever got, like, I get busy or I get overwhelmed or things like that, getting some time alone is huge. Sometimes, to be honest with you, there are times where I will just take like a 30-minute nap in the middle of the day. Like, as if it gets a very busy day and I'm like, wow, there's so much stuff going on. My gosh, I'll take a nap and it'll be like, you know, recharge. It'll be like waking up at 9 a.m. all over again. So that's very helpful. There are a lot of like certain books on CD that, like, there's Brian Tracy was one of the first people that was introduced to me in regards to like self-improvement and personal achievement, stuff like that. And I still have his book on CD called The Psychology of Achievement. I've since got it on the phone on Audible, but sometimes like the first hour or two of that, every once in a while, I'll just need to re-listen to it, because they'll talk about just certain laws that that govern our the law of attraction and things like that, where it just sort of brings me back to, all right, this is what I need to focus on. This is what it helps me with everything going on out there. It just helps sort of bring me back in. One, because I've been listening to that since 2005, I want to say, or 2006, and it's still the same message. But so there's a little bit of nostalgia to it. Also, he's got a very calming voice as well. But at the same time, it's a great message. So it just sort of brings you back, like, oh, this is what I remember learning when I first started feeding, first started, you know, getting the right head on my shoulders. So let me take this back to sort of formula. So doing that is very, very helpful. And I like to do projects around the house sometimes as well, too. I am a little bit of, I'm not like a tidy or neat freak or anything like that, but I'm very good at organizing things. I'm sure that has something to do with my line of work, is why I'm good at my line of work. Very good at organizing things. I'm very good at going through like things and seeing what doesn't need to be, going through like junk drawers and clearing stuff out. You know, what's this trash? What's this old stuff? What are we actually using? It's actually a very calming experience for me to all of a sudden have this nice clean drawer again. So it's, that's actually very helpful as well.
I think I need to hire you to come help me with that last one. So I love it.
It's fun just to get rid of stuff.
It's so releasing. My mom, when we downsized our house a couple of years ago to come where we are now, I knew she had Facebook, but I didn't realize she stalked me. So I had like all this stuff out for a yard sale, and she calls me. She goes, "You can't get rid of that chair," and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Like, she's in California, I'm in Florida, right? And she's like, "That rocking chair, you can't get rid of it." I'm like, "Ma, really? Like, you're watching me on Facebook?" She's like, "Yeah." She goes, "I gave you that chair. That's for when the babies." I'm like, "When the boys are babies." I go, "Ma, they're like 24 years old now. They're going to marry women that are going to want their own gliding rocking chair when they have grandbabies for me." But like, it was so funny. Like, she's very much, she holds on to the emotion of the thing. And me, I'm like, for instance, when we moved from California to Virginia, I had head surgery, so we had movers helping us move. And my mom sent down this teddy bear. It was like this old teddy bear. It was missing an eye. It was raggedy and everything. And my brother brings it down. I'm like, what am I going to do with this old thing? I threw it in the trash. Well, she didn't tell him to tell me the story that was a teddy bear that when I was a baby that I always slept with, right? I probably would have kept it. So to this day, she goes, you just throw things in the trash because it's old. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Never let that go.
It's so crazy. I have a friend, Patty, she does organization and I love having her come in because she'll go, when was the last time you touched it? Oh, okay. Throw it away, you know, or give it away, whatever. I love that you did that. And I love solitude stuff too. So I'm the one who leaves the kids here with the spouse and I go to the beach. You know, I do like a staycation or something, or I've known to get in the car and go for a ride out of state to go visit a friend. Like I'll do things like that as well too. So I love that you share those with us. And I want everybody to hear that because it's important. Yes, I work with mostly women, but it's important that men like yourself and like you shared also do things for your self care because we all need to be doing that. We all need to like listening to books like you talked about Brian Tracy and the books you listen to, like things like the Law of Attractions and all that, because it's not just for us as women who tend to do it very easily. Sometimes for men, it's a little harder to do because they don't always buy into the foo-foo of self-care, you know? Yeah. But it's an example to, especially if you have kids, example to your kids about doing something for yourself. And you're a great example to your son to say, listen, you need to do something for yourself and allows your spouse, allows your significant other to have time for themselves as well. So being that example, I appreciate you do that with your family as well. So we are
thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we have like just a few minutes left here. Tell everybody how they can reach you, Nate, and we'll put it in the show notes as well. But what's the best way somebody should reach out to you?
Either they can message me on Facebook, but my website is www.youhaveaplan.com, just like you see above that you have a plan, just youhaveaplan.com. You can send me a message through there or nate@youhaveaplan.com. Email is probably the best now that I think about it, but nate@youhaveaplan.com. That's the best way if anybody has any questions or just wants to, you know, run something by me or anything like that. All means.
And we'll put that in the show notes as well, so everybody can reach out to you and get some tell them how much you love this interview we did today. And those that are in our Commerce Connections, you guys can count this as education points or points on our.
There you go.
So those that are listening, in our network group, we get points for things that we do. So Nate's one of the first ones in the group. How often do I talk about coming on the show with me? And so
you have, and you've asked me a couple times, and finally I was like, you know what? I was like, I need to do this. Every time I say we're going to do this, and I forget to do it. I was like, let me put it on. And I remember I was really sitting there while you were up there talking on my phone. I was like, I'm going to book this right now while Pearl's talking.
So it's so awesome that you're on here and joining us. And so we're going to do the cards. So if you're new to the show, we have these cards. They're called Better Questions, Better Life. And actually a mutual friend that both Nate and I know, Carol Gill and her friend, Diane Allen, did these cards. They're over 70 cards. I pull a card every morning, Nate. You're talking about listening to stuff. And I pull a card and I'll either meditate on it. I might journal on it. I might share it with a friend. So I'm going to shuffle them and you're going to tell me when to stop and we're going to read the card together. So here we go.
Stop.
Okay. So your card says, what is my point of impact? What is your point of impact?
Point of impact. Impact on other people or like what impacts me or?
Yeah. What impacts you?
What impacts me? What impacts me the most for myself, and this also, I guess, goes back to self-care, is I love when I can use some sort of creativity in something that I do. Like we did those personality exams not too long ago, and Daniel came up to me, and he was like, I was no surprise that on the creativity thing, I think I scored the top in like the group. Yeah, everything that I do, I like to sort of put my own spin on it. And that's kind of my impact that I have on something. That's kind of the way that I impact on myself. Again, going back to the healthcare, but the self-care is I feel a lot better and I enjoy what I do more when I can put kind of my own spin on it.
Yes, you are very creative. I could see that scoring out there for you. And I know you do stuff with the Kiwanis, and I'm sure you get very creative helping them out as well. So, well, I want to thank you for joining us today. And for those that are listening, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and like. And if you're following us on podcast, give us a review. And if you're listening to 360 Talk Radio Women with us, we love that you're listening. Keep listening the rest of the day. We have other amazing speakers that are coming on as well. And I just want to remind you that as you leave this show from us today, that you come into this world, you're a little rough oyster on the outside, but on the inside, as you do all the work that, like we've talked about, planning and working on your self-care, you become your own inner pearl to greatness. And I hope you guys have a great day and shine with your inner pearl.
Thank you, Pro. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you. You've been listening to me for a little while, but I wanted to really explain to you what a Shiro is. You hear me talk about on the radio show and the podcast often about what is a Shiro. And what I want you to know is a Shiro is you. You are listening today and you are a Shiro. But what do I mean you're a Shiro? So a Shiro is somebody who is strong. You have so much strength, and maybe you don't know it. Maybe you're not seeing it inside yourself, and you need help tapping into that. And that's what I love to help women do, is to find your strength within and help you pour it out of yourself, help you become the strong person you are. And H stands for happy. You know, we all want to be happy, but sometimes finding the roadmap to happiness isn't easy. And so sometimes we have to help make that deep dive into answering heartful, soulful questions about what does it really mean to be happy? What brings me joy? What do I need to say no to so that I can become the person I want to be and the strong person I want to be that's also happy? And then empowered. You are empowered just by listening to this podcast that we do or the radio show to be the person that you are meant to be, that person inside, that little girl that's inside, just waiting to come out. We want to empower you through our Shiro method to become that strong, happy, empowered person that you are. But it's not an easy step. So, you know, we have to cut through the fluff and the excuses and the drama and the mess so that we can make that progress. Because as we start making the progress, then what happens is you start seeing the radiant you. You start arriving at the level that you've created, that divine roadmap, where you're finally starting to live intentionally. And as you live intentionally, then you realize your strength really is powerful, that your happiness is meaningful, and that you are empowered to pay it forward to others, to do the things you want to do without guilt, because you deserve it and because your radiance is showing. And then as you work through that progress, then what happens is you become your original self. You become that authentic you that you're supposed to be. Like, you've done that deep soulful work, and you're starting to make that path of satisfaction and that happiness you've been craving. And so you start laying down the foundation of your success. When you wake up in the morning, you find yourself looking in the mirror, realizing that you don't recognize your old self anymore, that you see yourself reflected everywhere in your stride, your relationships, your career, and even your hobbies. So as you align your outward trajectory with that inward path, you start gaining that clarity and that confidence and courage to focus and follow your internal direction. So really, that's what a Shiro is. And it's not easy to get there, right? We need to learn the steps to become that true Shiro, to tap into those superpowers that you have within. And that's why we have what's called our Shiro League. And if you want to join a community of women that are working on exactly these things that we're talking about, that are becoming strong, that are happy, that are empowered, that are radiant and original, that want to tap into things that bring them joy and say no to the things that don't let them enjoy the things that they want to do. We meet every Sunday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on Zoom. No makeup. If you want makeup, you can, but just come in to be your radiant self, to be that original person you are. Because really, as you look at your biggest sources of stress, we want to help you with our Shiro League and our Shiro method to help you listen to that internal compass so you can start decluttering your distractions and really identify what's really missing in your life. Like, what brings you joy? And what, we're not talking foo-foo feeling stuff, like really what fills your cup? What makes you so happy to put your cape on first? And as we do that and you become that Shiro you're meant to be, then what happens is you are radiant. You have created an opportunity to release what you need to say no to so that you can start fulfilling your purpose. So you can start stepping out of your comfort zone and really into what brings your joy. And our Shiro Method Roadmap is that crucial step of helping you to live the life you want to be that Shiro you want to be, to tap into what it is you deserve to do, what it is you've been desiring to do. And listen, if you're a mom and you've got kids and you're a working mom outside the house, you're not all about the mom title. You are Pearl, you are Sue, you are Jacqueline, you are Stella, you are somebody that matters and somebody that has goals and visions that deserves to create that divine roadmap so that you finally begin and, like I said, live your life intentionally. So if you're ready to do that and you want some help with that, I would love to invite you to a free call with me. Just let's talk about where you're at, how you get to where you want to go. What are your goals? What brings you joy? What do you need to say no to? And I would love to help you peel back those layers so that you can arrive at the real answers so that we can cut away the fluff and the excuses and the drama and help you make that real progress. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next 30 seconds. And if you are here and you're listening, then you know that we are about putting ourselves first. We're about putting that cape on first. We're about finding your true, authentic self and learning how to overcome people-pleasing and start tapping into your superpowers. Because as you tap into your superpowers, you then can take care of those you love, the things you love to do, even better than what you're doing today. Because when you put yourself first, you can become the Shira that you're meant to be. And your superpowers will help even take care of your family and your loved ones to a much bigger success than you're already doing. So if you're ready to tap into your superpowers and ready to find out how to become your true Shira, I want you to email me, Shira@pearl@wsliving.com. That's Shira@pearl@wsliving.com. And I would love to help you become the Shira of your life.